It's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think this is a perfect scripture to begin Lent. I think it is perfect for this time of year, these things that we are trying to do. Lent is that time of preparation, preparing ourselves, getting our lives, our hearts, our minds, our souls ready to receive Christ's death and his resurrection. We recognize that as faithful as we might try to be, there are always times where we need to do better. And so we've set aside this time in order to evaluate our lives, to see those things that need to be stripped away. We examine our lives to see those places where we can be more faithful in our spiritual practices as we prepare for this wonderful gift of grace. Now, part of that during Lent, I did grow up observing Lent. Did any of you grow up observing? Raise your hand. We'll make this an interactive one. It's Lent. We're doing things different and being a little uncomfortable. Raise your hand if you remember practicing Lent as a child. Thank you. Some of y'all did. Most of you did not. Was it a Catholic thing? That's what those Catholics did. Or just nothing. Not familiar with it at all. I think I've spoken in the past of my time at McDonald's. It was my McDonald's era. Up in Indianapolis, normally we'd go through maybe 4, 5, 6 fish fillet sandwiches during the lunch rush hour, except during Lent on Fridays. When Lent Fridays came rolling around, we would go through 2 or 3 dozen during the Lent rush, right? Traditionally, of course, Catholics do not eat meat during Lent, except on Fridays they can have fish and that sort of thing. And so McDonald's, a fish fillet sandwich, was a good opportunity to get a little extra protein during the week. These are things and practices that faithful Christians have done for many years. I remember trying to come up with things as a child, like chocolate or that sort of thing. Maybe I'd stop trying to cuss a little bit to do better during Lent. Did better some years than others, you know. Lent was always this time of giving something up. I was a little older when this idea of taking something on, maybe some spiritual practice, trying to pray a little longer, some devotion, that sort of thing, inviting the Lord to be with me as well as trying to give something up during Lent. And so Lent has changed for my life, but it's always been this time of preparation. Because of that, again, I think the scripture is perfect. Anytime we try to make changes in our lives, there is this temptation to put it aside. given up chocolate and they're tempted by the waitress at Chili's or something who asks with the big picture of the chocolate fountain brownie volcano cake. Doesn't that sound amazing? Oh, my. And then also, any of those things, I was going to say Sundays don't count during Lent, so if you've given up chocolate and I've tempted you, go have your chocolate fountain cake this afternoon while you can. There are always these temptations. I did really good last week beginning on Ash Wednesday with my devotion book and coloring it and considering the words that were on the page up until yesterday when I got busy. I did my devotion for Friday, and then I had to go and pick up Madeline, and then Madeline was with me, and so I was tempted to not come up and do my devotion. So I've got some catching up to do. There are temptations all throughout this time of Lent. The scriptures tell us that Jesus was tempted. This passage in Luke is a beautiful, wonderful story that is an integral part of the gospel itself. This is right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Luke has spent 2-3 chapters describing Jesus' birth, the incredible miracle of the angels appearing to the shepherds, all of these things. And then he pivots to Jesus as an adult. Jesus is baptized. He's taken under the water. The heavens open. The Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus in a bodily form like a dove. This is a tangible experience of the Holy Spirit coming down and including a voice that comes from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Anybody's baptism like that? The heavens just open up when you come out of the water? There's a little light shining, maybe hearing some angels singing. Wouldn't that have been nice? Jesus' baptism was this incredible experience. The world itself changes. The heavens are opened up. The voice of God rains down from heaven. "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." What an incredible experience that would have been. And from that moment, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned out of the waters and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Here's the thing about temptation. It doesn't always hit us at our lowest point. Sometimes these temptations grab us when we feel closest to God. When the Spirit is overwhelming us, when things seem to be going the right direction, sometimes those temptations hit the hardest. Jesus has literally seen the heavens open up, heard the voice of God, and from there he's spirited away into the wilderness. He doesn't eat for 40 days. What this passage of Scripture does for us is it reminds us that Jesus experienced this universal human experience that is temptation. Jesus, I believe, in this passage, struggled with these things that he is tempted with. His example of overcoming those temptations, Luke intends to be an example for us, as well as using this story in conjunction with the rest of the gospel to point out what happens when we follow in God's path. So let's get down into those temptations. The very first one, Luke tells us that Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Again, 40 days, 40 nights. Does that sound familiar with anything we've talked about Lent so far? I wonder where we came up with the 40 days from Lent. Oh yeah, there it is. Jesus fasts for 40 days, eating nothing. The devil comes to him and says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become a loaf of bread." Now, in our scriptures, in this English, it sort of sounds like a question, "If you are the Son of God," but in the Greek, this is an affirmative question. It's more like, since you are the Son of God, since you are God's Son, since you have this power, since you have experienced these blessings and the Lord's Spirit upon you, since you have all of that, command these stones to become a loaf of bread. Feed yourself. You're hungry. I know you are. You've been out here for 40 days and 40 nights. You've got to be famished. Eat something. You have the power to do it. Jesus resists what must have been a very real temptation. I've told you before, I've never really been hungry. But sometimes I don't eat long enough, and then I'll get hungry. Even my little experience with hunger, I understand this temptation. Jesus answers him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." With all of these temptations, I want you to understand what happens later in Jesus' ministry. The temptation from the devil is to feed yourself today, Jesus. You're hungry now? Turn that stone into a loaf of bread. Feed yourself. Use your power for your own personal uses. What does Jesus do for 5,000 people later on in the gospel? He feeds them. Out of nothing. Basically nothing. Jesus is tempted with feeding himself, using his power and his blessing for himself only. But he turns it aside and he follows God's path later in this gospel and feeds the multitudes. This is the danger of temptation. Our instant gratification. It will feel good now, today, to turn to this temptation, to fold to it. But what are we giving up in the long run? Jesus' hunger would have subsided that day. But by following God's path, he's able to feed the 5,000. Later, the devil comes and brings Jesus up and shows him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. If only you will bow to me, all of their glory and authority over them will be given to you. This simple thing, just kneel, worship me, Jesus, and all of this will be yours. I told the Sunday school class, I asked them, where are we? Lexington, Kentucky. Did I ever imagine I would be in Lexington, Kentucky as a small child? I did not, I'll tell you that. It's a blessing to be here. We're talking about Jesus in Lexington, Kentucky, in North America, a place that Jesus did not even know existed, that the Romans had no idea it existed. We are a full continent away, and we're talking about Jesus. Jesus could have had in an instant by simply kneeling to the devil all authority and glory of the world just by kneeling. But I wonder how long it would have lasted. I wonder how long before the devil made another deal with someone else. I wonder. Jesus turned away from that temptation. He turned away from the easy way out of just kneeling, and he followed God's path. And here we are. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, with all the glory and authority that we have given over to him because he followed in God's path. Finally, the devil seems to be wisening up. He takes Jesus and places him up on the pinnacle. And as Jesus has been quoting scripture, rebuking him and turning him aside, the devil says, well, here you go. I've got one for you. Let me quote scripture for you myself. He puts him up on the high point, the pinnacle of the temple. He says, go ahead, leap off. If you're the Son of God, God will not allow anything to happen. The scripture says in Psalm 91, that the Lord will command his angels concerning you. You will not even dash or stub your toe on a stone. The Lord will protect you if you truly are. It says right there in his scripture, throw yourself down and you will be brought up by his angels. Again, Jesus turns aside from this small temptation. Prove to yourself that God loves you. Prove to yourself that you are God's son and chosen one by doing this thing. And Jesus says, no. The scriptures also say, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So Jesus turns aside from that small personal proof that he is God's son and continues in God's path, continues towards Jerusalem himself, continues to gather apostles and disciples and followers, and eventually is lifted up in Jerusalem. He dies. His foot apparently is bashed against a stone. His entire body is broken. But then 3 days later, on that Easter Sunday, he is risen again. It is not simply a Jesus being proved by God to be his son, preventing him from dashing his foot on a stone. The Lord proves to the world that Jesus is his son by defeating death, raising him from the dead, allowing him to walk out of the tomb. So finally, the devil is defeated. He's finished every test, and he departs until an opportune time, which is, of course, when he enters Judas and convinces Judas to turn Jesus over to his disciples. Temptations are easy. They're the easy way out. They are the ways that give us the gratification right now, but they prevent us from following in God's path. They hold us back from the blessings that God gives us. May we turn away from our temptations, whatever they may be. May we not be so selfish to try to grab a hold of this instant gratification. May we not use our power for our own benefit. May we follow in Jesus' footsteps, taking not the easy way, but God's way. May we find ways to bring Christ and God's love into this world in deeper and broader ways. Amen.